The gospel lesson for today comes from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. From the 32nd verse, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for this is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word of the Lord. A brief text from the Bible usually means a brief sermon, doesn't it? Time will tell. And when the text is as rich as that final line from Jesus, we might be here a while. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a proverb. A proverb is a short, portable one-liner. You can take it anywhere. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That's equally true in Poughkeepsie or Piscataway. A stitch in time saves nine. That's good advice about planning ahead, whether it plays in Atlanta or Algiers. Pants get shiny even on the throne. I like that one in the middle of an election season. It's a proverb. Wise, single-sentence statement distilled from years of experience, and it's true because it's true. The wise person goes around the track many, many times and begins to see the truth about how things work and how they function and what's important and what's not. And so Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be there also." Pretty simple, pretty direct. We don't have to look up too many words. There are two, of course, two nouns. Heart is a venerable Bible word. The words of Jesus were translated into English from Greek, though he probably spoke them in Aramaic and was conversant in Hebrew. Whatever the language, heart has always meant the same thing. It's the center of a person's life. Just as the heart is in the chest, the spiritual sense of heart is the center of our souls. It's where we give our devotion. And then treasure. The biblical word for treasure has to do with those things we consider to be of infinite value, ultimate value. It's what we accumulate, and it's what we preserve, and it's what we keep safe. The treasure includes those resources that we live out of, the stockpile of gifts and graces that we expend. So Jesus is saying what we already know. We devote ourselves to the things that matter the most to us. So the proverb begs the question, what's the most important thing of your life? A week ago on Friday night, I was in the center of Kalamazoo. I had never been in Kalamazoo. I had to look it up on a map and find out where I was. It's a beautiful night, Friday night. The center of the city is a nice 4-acre park filled with young people. What a wonderful thing to have the under 30 crowd filling a city park. And then I noticed every one of them had a cell phone and they were chasing Pokemon around the park. Have you heard about that game? One kid was so obsessed that he walked out into the street in front of a moving car and the driver hit the brakes, slammed on the horn. This kid didn't even look up. I walked up behind a couple of others. I said to one of them, whose gaze was on a 4-inch screen, "Hey, there's one right behind you." He turns around. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When you have a treasure, that's where you put your energy. That's where you put your time. It's where you focus your attention. Drive down my street, Edgewood Drive. Ask the guy on my street with the perfect lawn of green velvet. Not a wayward stick, not a dreaded dandelion, not even a single leaf of clover. He's out on that lawn all the time. And the neighbor walking by would say, that's his treasure. If you look at my lawn, it's obviously not my treasure, but it's his. Where do we put our value? What's most important? It's a good question. I heard a story about a missionary in China in the middle of the last century. He lived there with his wife and kids, and the Chinese government put him under house arrest. They didn't want a Christian missionary wandering around loose and preaching the gospel. One day the soldiers came and said, okay, you can go home. And then they added, but you can only take 200 pounds with you. That forced a lot of decisions. They had been in China for many, many years. They had accumulated a lot of nice things. There were hand-carved pieces of furniture, dazzling artwork, a beautiful, priceless vase, and being a preacher too, he had a lot of books. So the family pulled out the scale and began to have a conversation, actually arguments about what to take. They weighed this, they weighed that. They finally whittled it down to 200 pounds, and the soldier said, and did you weigh the kids? And in a moment, all the other treasures became trash. Should we have to make those kinds of decisions, what will come before everything else? As Luke reports this proverb, he drops it in the middle of a chapter on money, possessions, and all the glorious stuff that we buy and possess. Well, of course he does. For a lot of people, money and the stuff that it buys will comprise the treasure. That's where they devote their heart. Just remember the parable that comes immediately before this passage, which a few of you heard last week. Jesus said, a wealthy man made even more money. Leave it to the rich to get rich. And those paying late fees on their mortgages and the credit cards, well, you know, so much for them. So the rich man has crops, they produce even more abundance, and so he says to himself, and only to himself, what am I going to do with all my extra stuff? And he decides to tear it down and build bigger storage facilities. That's what happens when money and stuff insulates you from other people. You fall into what Jesus calls foolishness, the foolishness of hoarding and increasing accumulation. And you give as little as possible, of course, to help others out, and you contribute as little as possible for the public well-being. You might even vote for people whose politics will keep you rich. You structure your whole life around saving your assets. Just think of Ebenezer Scrooge, and the Jesus of the Bible would call him idiot. Isn't life more than stuff, says Jesus? The clothes we wear, the food we eat, is that your treasure? Is that where you devote your heart? Just the other night, I was talking to my friend Bob Wilson, lives out near Waymark, nice guy, a Methodist. He spent some time this year in Haiti with other Methodists, and he said, the one thing I'll never forget, the one overwhelming detail, is how happy were the people I spent time with in Haiti, even though they don't have very much. Their hearts seemed to be devoted to something else. So the question lingers, what's the treasure in your life? To what will you give your heart? If it's money, well, someday you can't take that with you. Money is only temporary, and it does no good if it's doing no good. Our riches should not be digging moats around our castles, but building bridges. That's the wisdom of Christ, not the insulation of a fool. Do you give your energy to buying more stuff, piling up more stuff, protecting more stuff? Again, Jesus wisely says, if you have a lot of material things, the thief can steal, the moth can destroy. And then one day, if you ever try to relocate, it's really difficult to get rid of what you don't need. I know this firsthand. When I merged households with my wife 12 years ago, we filled up the living room with so much excess that we couldn't walk through it, and it took a year to unload it. And we're still working on the basement. So Jesus gives us a proverb about our priorities. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He doesn't specify heart or treasure, but he leaves it open-ended enough to raise the question, what is it that gives you the fullness of life? What is the one true pursuit worthy of your heart? How are you going to answer? I could leave it dangling there. I've been prone to do that in some of my sermons over the years. But I noticed that in pondering the question, Jesus then turns the whole proverb on its head, because according to the paragraph, he's referring to money, but he's also referring to something else. He's talking about the kingdom of God. It is God's great desire to give all of you the kingdom, he says. The kingdom, what's that? Well, it's not a place. It's not a place on a cloud. It's a situation. The kingdom is wherever God is right now ruling our lives. The kingdom come for which we pray is now here in Jesus, his word, his work, his life. And the kingdom is wherever anybody puts God first, listens for God to speak, and does what God wants to get done. That, he says, is really the treasure. To have God rule over us. And Jesus has to tell us this because the world is full of so many other distractions. If you walk through the store, there's always something else calling out for your allegiance. It will never satisfy you. It will only enslave you. So the holy antidote, according to Jesus, is to cut it loose, to be generous. He says, sell your possessions, give it all away. In the delightful Semitic euphemism, make purses that do not wear out. You know, he's talking about the kinds of purses that little Rebecca understands, the kind of purses that empty themselves for the needs of others. I bet you might have brought one of those purses with you today. Most of us here could actually empty our wallets into God's offering plate and we'd still have enough to share. Might have to stop at the ATM, but there's some in that little computer. And if we did that, we might begin to feel how good it is to give generously, how good it is to free ourselves from the tyranny of having to have things, how free it is to give ourselves to God and God's rule over us. It's like my friend Bob Wilson said. He said, I made friends in Haiti who didn't have very much, but they're very happy. And he went down there with two suitcases full of small musical instruments so he could jam with some of the kids. And he ended up leaving all the instruments behind and coming home with a full heart. So do a little heart survey today and ask, are you fearful or are you generous? What's it going to take for you to claim the love of God for all people and then to make that your treasure?